Welcome back, everybody. Bass University Live. We are, we have the great Brian Thrift with us. He's going to be my co-host here in just a second. And we got a lot of great stuff coming. We're,
are you eating a caramel?
I filled my mouth full of sunflower seeds right before the video ended.
That was a tactical error.
Well, I could have used more than a 2 second notice.
Yeah, well, you know. These things sneak up on us,
yep. But hey, we're gonna have fun. Yeah, we're back already. I got surprised too. But hey, we got some trivia coming up. Our grand prize is coming up.
Catch Commander Scale.
Yeah, Catch Commander Scale.
Let's lead off and talk about the Catch Commander Scale. And as a matter of fact, I'll hit the trivia question right now.
All right.
We'll throw that out there, and after I do that, Bri, you can. You can talk to us about that.
Tell Sounds us good. Why we want the Catch Commander Scale.
All right. So, hold on.
He's going to do the...
That's right.
See, jumping the gun, Pete. Jumping the gun.
So you're better at taking direction than me.
What angler has the most top 10 finishes in Forest Wood Cup history? You guys are not allowed to guess. Talk to us about that scale.
All right, so the Catch Commander Scale actually came out last year at ICAST, and it's just it's a good heavy duty. I mean, it's one of the last scales you'll ever have to buy. I mean, it's an awesome scale. It can store weights. It's got a good grip on it, so you don't have to worry about a lot of scales use just the hook where you have to hook them under the gills or
and
something.
And that never works because they flip right off of that.
Right, and you risk tearing their gills off, mm-hmm. but that's got like a boga grip on it. Mm-hmm. So it'll grip them good, hold them good. It stores your weight, tells you which fish to cull. You can weigh in pounds and ounces. You can weigh in tenths. You can weigh in kilograms. So a lot of different features on it.
I like it. It's got this great big handle.
Yeah, it's got the handle on it, so you can use it for saltwater fishing or, you know, if you catch giant largemouth all the time.
Like you do. No, Now, how does it cull? Is that
all right? This simple? Got the features right here. I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but you can see how it show. You mm-hmm. weigh your fish, and it'll show 1 through 5, and then it see how
spin,
all the
spin that around.
Yeah, we got different weights here. Like that's what your 5 fish weigh. Mm-hmm. So right now it says the smallest fish is 312. Mm-hmm. So if you catch a 4-pounder, it's gonna flash the 312, and each one's numbered 1 through 5, so you know you cull your buoy number 1.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever buoy system you use, like if you use the TH Marine culling system, just take your Sharpie, number your buoys 1 through 5,
mm-hmm.
and then it says, all right, cull buoy number 1. You go in there, buoy number 1, throw him back, put the new fish on there, and you're good to go.
Okay.
And it'll replace the weight of the fish you culled with the one you just put in the live well.
Excellent. Will it beep at me if I accidentally call my fifth fish?
I don't think it'll do that.
Like me and Brian did. Have you ever you messed up in culling?
I haven't yet, but you know, odds are it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's done it, and it's probably coming. I hope it's not next week, but it definitely happens. It shouldn't happen now because I've got my Catch Commander scales, but
exactly,
I might throw 2 back instead of 1.
Yeah. Well, one of the other miscues, like we were talking off the air, and one time I caught my fifth fish finally, and instead of just putting them in the live well, I went to cull. And I culled my fifth fish back in the water, which left me with just 4 fish again. So I fortunately was able to catch my fifth fish. It didn't hurt me. But but mentally, I mean, you're under all that, you know, stress. You're excited. You're psyched. You're catching them, and you can make a mistake. Guys do it all the time. They bring 6 fish to the scales.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. They bring 4 fish to the scales when they think they have 5. One of the mistakes that I also made before all these systems were even available to us was I called the wrong fish.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I've got all 3 3.5 pounders.
Right.
And until I get to my fifth fish and he's 12 inches.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, what's he doing in there?
I let the wrong ones go. That happened to me.
We have a winner, by the way.
Excellent.
But before we announce who it was, and congratulations, G3 Billy D, You are the winner. Let's hear from you guys who you thought the winner was.
Most top tens in FLW history.
Cup history.
Cup history.
Oh, in cup history.
I'm going with Andy Morgan.
And that's a tough one. I'm going to go with David Dillon.
According to Ken Duke of the Ken Duke Trivia and Ken Duke Associates,
yep.
Ken Duke Esquire, the answer is Brian Thrift.
Oh, Brian Thrift.
I really didn't know.
Correct. And congratulations, G3 Billy D. His answer came in back at 8:59 and 42 seconds. Several other Brian Thrifts came in afterwards, but G3 Billy D was the first to pop up on the message board. So congratulations.
And congratulations.
And a special shout out to our favorite BASU subscriber, New York Chris, who simply guessed Brian well ahead of everybody else. I think Chris knew, but felt embarrassed to win for this every show.
I mean, it was like such a softball. I'm like, there's no, Ken Duke would not give a trivia question with the answer being Brian Thrift.
That's why he's Ken Duke.
That's why he's Ken Duke. He tricked me.
He's the greatest.
G3 I wouldn't have Billy thought D, it would have been me in. Because I haven't been fishing that long.
That's what, I honestly.
That's why, that was my thought process.
We looked at the rookie picture up there. I think,
yeah.
That, you know, he hasn't fished near as many as the other guys.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
But you just must be top 10 and in the cup every time out of the gate.
Thrift also has the most top 5 finishes in Forest Wood Cup history. With 5. Wow. Ken also would like to note that Brian has never won the cup, which I thought was very rude, Ken.
No, I'm good with it.
And your best finishes with 3rd in 2012 and 2013.
Yep.
So,
wow.
I did lead in 13 going into the last day, so I blew that one too.
Man, that's when they gave away $1 million.
Yeah, no, no,
oh, Peter.
No, my rookie.
Excuse yourself from the room.
My rookie year was when they gave away $1 million. They stopped doing that in 2009.
Okay.
And my rookie year in 07, we were at Wachita, and I was leading the first day of the cup, and I was thinking, you know, this might happen, but I ended up finishing like 5th or something.
Yeah. I fished the one in Pittsburgh, where it was $1 million.
Yeah,
and
Hackney won.
Yeah, I know. I had a limit of smallmouth on day one that was 4 pounds. I was in the top 10.
Yeah,
it was that kind of derby, you know.
It was. I ended up making the top 10 in that one, and I caught them. I remember one day I had like 8.5 pounds, and everybody was freaking out. Like,
yeah, that's the deal. I blew that one because I learned a rigging system that I wasn't aware of at the time. I never needed it, but I was using a like a fluke style bait.
Yeah.
And the way I rigged it with a 4-0, you know.
We were on the same pattern.
Is that right?
We were on the exact same pattern.
No kidding.
I caught mine on an armor shad fluke style bait.
Yeah.
But I was nose hooking it with a number 4 treble hook.
Well, I could have used that information before the derby.
Because when those smallmouth swat at it, you don't have to set the hook. They're hooked.
You just reel. And
wow.
Well, that's what happened. I'd set the hook, and they would open their mouths, go flying over the boat. They would jump out, and I'd lose them. I couldn't tell you how many I lost that day. And
wow.
I never knew of the nose hook system.
I didn't know. That's the first time I ever did it. Yeah. But I was in practice, I was catching them on a pop-art and a buzz bait.
Yeah,
and I'm like, man, I need something else.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just tied on a little 5-inch armor shad. It says it's a 5-inch bait, but it's got a smaller profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking a number 4 treble hook and just nose hooking it like you would a drop shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man.
I'd never heard of that.
Yeah. I heard of it after that, and I just looked in the mirror with the dumb look like,
that makes so much sense.
Yep. I didn't think of that because I was looking for an answer, but man, you got $1 million on the line.
Yeah.
All you're doing is trying to get another bite, and I got plenty of bites the whole tournament.
That was a fun, like everybody fussed about it because the weights were so low, but that's a fun place to fish.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a lot of bites.
Yeah, I agree. I fished up the Mon, the Mahogany Helia.
I don't remember the name of nothing.
Yeah.
I fished to the left.
I can't even remember where we were. Yeah, we launched and you went left.
That's true. There was like a north and a right.
Were
and a
you
left.
Fishing where Hackney was fishing that same arm?
No, I think he was fishing up.
Okay, he was fishing in my, because I ran into him in the lock.
Yeah,
on day 2,
I was locking, but to the left.
Okay, yeah, the other one was the, must have been the Ohio, and then there was another river.
Yeah.
And I never went to the Ohio. I
that's where I was.
I had good fish in the Ohio, but they were easier to catch up in the other river for me. So
that's gotcha.
Well, at least they were practicing. They would they stopped hitting the stuff. They stopped hitting the top water.
Yeah.
And that's how I got onto the fluke style bait. And anyway, it was amazing fishing for $1 million. I mean,
yeah, it was. Geez,
you got I just had to block that out of my head and just try to concentrate, you know. But that was really cool that they did that for a while. But it's amazing how many you've had more top tens than anybody else. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do we got next? We got a battle coming. Okay, what got him? I like this game, What Got Him.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, bet you What Got Him.
I got him.
And now here we
that's
go.
That's what got him. I got that one.
There it is, Pete. You're looking short and stout.
Yep.
We might need to recrop that. paint the picture. Tell us about this.
Those are actual proportions. Honestly. Yeah. But you can look at the belly on that guy pre-spawn.
Which one?
I'm looking for a new producer, by the way. Anybody watching here?
Good time to circulate your resume, Bri.
send them in right
so
away.
So, Pete, what time of the year was it? What body of water were you on?
This was May on the Chesapeake.
May on the Chesapeake.
May on the Chesapeake.
Okay. She's looking pre.
Very pre.
I would say.
Yeah. But remember, this year on the Chesapeake, because of extended rain that we've had in our region, like a lot of places,
16 months.
Yeah, it really delayed everything. Everything's weeks behind. Typically, you catch a fish in May. That fish would be bloody tail, knee deep in the middle of the spawn, and this fish looks like he just pulled up.
You know? That's still cropped oddly here.
You look like we have a winner.
You look like an Ewok, Pete.
We have a winner.
Talk to me.
Came in at 9:08 and 14 seconds. Congratulations.
Hold on. Yes. Don't give away the technique yet.
Congratulations, New York Chris.
Yes, my man.
You are the winner.
Excellent. Give him something good. Now, Bri, do you have a guess on what Pete's technique of choice may have been in that situation?
Can I look at the picture again?
Yeah. We all should.
I mean, I got to factor in background, watercolor.
You have to factor in who's doing it. That's the biggest factor.
I'm looking around for any clues on baits on the deck. That's what I'm looking for. I see a bait over there hanging.
Yeah, I can't tell what it is.
We're talking about Pete.
I don't know what Pete throws.
Eric's guessing jig. Eric, the intern's guessing a jig.
I'm going Senko.
Yep. Brian the Carpenter is constantly criticizing me.
It's a Senko or it's a lie. I can tell you that. Since we're talking about Pete right now. Okay, go ahead.
The answer was?
It's a Rapala Squarebill.
Squarebill crankbait. Congratulations, DT. Yep.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking Squarebill because I know you won on the James with Squarebill not long ago.
Well, I
was digging deep.
And I will not correct you on that. I did win on the James. But I led on the James.
Okay, never mind.
That is all right. I'll take it.
Thank you.
Rip that Band-Aid right off.
I love it. You know, it's funny because
I thought you won it.
Everybody thinks that, and I love it. And I don't like to correct people. I usually just say, yeah, it was a great event. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Still waiting for the trophy. It's in the shop.
I led the tournament. I caught a 20-pound bag there.
Yeah.
Led the tournament going into the last day. And that's what everybody remembers.
Yeah.
They remember that. So that is all that matters.
Nobody really remembers who won. But so what's square bill, dude?
The DT Fat Shark. It's a old school. It's chartreuse brown back.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, there's just some rocks, and there's a few places I fish that have rocks on them. And
what is it with sharp brown, man?
It's just it's one of my favorite colors. Oh, it always catches them. It catches them all over. Now, honestly, down on the Chesapeake, I'm often fishing a shad pattern because there's herring and shad that are so prolific all over. So, but when, you know, in May, there's a lot of bluegills around. There's a lot of yellow perch because of the spawn. And a lot of times I go to that chartreuse brown back, but that big one stomped it. A lot of fun catching
it. It looked like it.
Yeah. And I'm going to try to go win the James for the second time.
Yeah.
Next, in a couple of weeks.
Third time.
What's that?
It'll be the third time.
Third time. Fourth time. You know, we'll just keep winning down there. That's so funny. But yeah, that was an amazing, amazing week down there. I can't wait to get back because it's a tributary to the Chesapeake where I fish all the time. And the only thing different is they got the Florida strains down there on the James.
I've never been on the James.
It's they got cypress trees and hydrilla.
Bry loves tidal.
Yeah. No.
Are you a tidal guy?
No.
I've never been on the Chesapeake.
It's my belief that anywhere if it's got river in the name of it, it's not worth fishing.
About it.
So that's my belief.
Man, I like it. My belief is that all tournaments should be on rivers at all times.
No.
We need to get together and like, put a pair of notes or something, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't like rivers.
Man, that's funny because almost all my big finishes have a river in the title. You know, it's just that current. That's just something. Well, that's what I grew up fishing. And when I get to reservoirs, I get spun out. I have a hard time knowing what to do or how to adjust.
Right. Really,
you know? But
and I guess that's the difference in me. Like, I grew up fishing reservoirs with no current, so I guess that's just comfort zone,
right?
Type deal.
You know what to do, and that's where all the tournaments are. They're all on reservoirs, you know.
But, yeah. Otherwise, you would be sitting over there with all the trophies in there, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Pete.
Yeah, I'll be dreaming about it tonight.
Hey,
well, what a good show.
You want to cue up the Bass U Battle?
Yes, Bass U Battle is a cool game that we play. We played it with you.
Yeah, we did it at the Classic this year.
Yes.
That's right, we did.
Mm-hmm. And the Bass U Battle.
I thought I was cheated because you let Suggs beat me.
I remember that. I remember that. I can't remember how I had to penalize you, but it was
I got penalized heavily for something.
Don't feel too bad. We just felt like Scott needed a win.
Right?
So.
Oh, it's been a while. What? Stop it.
Getting abusive back here. It's negativity.
Nobody says.
We love Scott. Suggs is a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Bass U Battle, we're going to create a scenario, but this time I'm going to be competing against you. See, we should have known that him and I had this river versus reservoir. We should be having a question that involves
who's
river,
the judge?
River fishing.
The people.
The people is the judge.
The people judge.
Normally, I'm the judge. We're going to present a set of conditions. Brian and I are going to tackle them, and the people will judge who's right.
They are. So
who came
I've
up
got
with
a
the first, best
I've
pattern.
Got a couple to hit you guys with first.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also like to pull a couple off the message board for people to give us scenarios. So we're looking for a very specific scenario that you would be in, and I'll go ahead and throw out the first one that I'm going
to
give you guys.
So long as it has to do with the river.
That's right. Give Pete help. He's going to need it. Somebody come up with a river scenario.
Come on. I'll catch Brian Thrift. Help
I'm
me
not
out.
Saying I don't know what to do on a river. I just don't like doing what everybody else does, and that's the only way you can catch them on a river.
That's a good point.
There's no other options on a river.
Yeah.
That is a very good point. Brian, I think you just won.
I did.
Good, Pete, you out.
You're just looking for a reason to DQ me. I'm
sorry, but the man just nailed it.
Well, what do you got? Give us the first.
Okay. All right, you guys. Scenario. Brian's going to answer first. Fishing deep on a smallmouth lake, looking for groups, can't find solid groups, spread out in singles. The fish are pressured, other boats are around. This is all you've got going on to work with. How are you catching them?
Deeps?
That question came from our buddy Justin Kimmel, professional fish head.
And how deep?
I'll read it one more time. I'm going to say 12 to 15.
All right.
These are complicated.
Fishing deep on a smallmouth lake, you're looking for groups and you can't find
solid groups.
He's
taking notes.
Is
that not cheating?
Yeah,
okay.
They're spread out in singles, so you can pick up on singles, but they're pressured. You've got other boats around. This is all you've got to work with.
All right.
You're out there competing with other boats. For singles, how are you catching them?
I'm catching them on a Damiki DC 300 crankbait. And the reason on that, color. Do I have to mention a color? Or
you can.
Clear water, yeah.
Clear water. All right, I'm going with a translucent color. And I'm going to be throwing it on a 7-3-1 reel so I can rewind it really fast and try to get a reaction bite.
And you're seeing them. Are you seeing them or are you blind casting?
No, I'm just fan casting.
You're fan casting.
You didn't say we were seeing them, did you?
Well, you're seeing singles. You can't find groups.
Like catching singles or I'm seeing singles?
You're seeing singles.
Will you stop helping?
That's confusing.
Is it?
Yeah, because I could have been seeing them on my graph.
Yeah.
Or seeing them with my eyes.
No, on your graph. Your deep water smallmouth.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm cranking.
Okay.
DC 300.
All right. All right. Pete, your chance to right. steal.
Here's why that doesn't work.
Tell Chad Pickens that.
12 to 15. I'm going to, and crankbait's a deal. I get it. And I use that a lot. But 12 to 15 feet is shallow enough where I'm going to be able to get those fish to come up. And that's what I want to do when they're scattered and they're isolated. They're very, very difficult to trigger. And I am going to burn a swim bait high up in the water column because that will cause them to come out of their comfort zone. It'll get them to commit. With all that fishing pressure around, there ain't no way they're hitting a crankbait. A DC D'Amico crank. Not no chance.
DC 300.
But I will be able to fish through a crowd, and I will trigger fish that other guys are missing high up in the water column with a swim bait.
What swim bait?
I'm going to fish, something on an exposed hook that's probably...
Hasn't been made yet?
That probably hasn't been made, and I got to keep secret.
Oh, you got secret swim baits. Well, that, by default, I win.
I think you might.
Because nobody else can do it.
Yeah. You got any... What's the message board say?
The message board says that... Brian wins because Pete's a liar because he would be throwing a Senko.
Perfect.
Just one man's opinion. Stop getting influenced by these guys in the back room.
Hey, your reputation speaks for itself there, Pete.
The one that you created.
See how that works?
Yeah.
I think it goes back and forth.
Yep. Yeah. No, but those are both good answers, honestly, for those guys listening. Senko, honestly, is a good answer, too.
Absolutely.
Isolated fish.
Yeah.
We're both going for the reaction bite.
Right. That's the whole key to it, I feel like, is making, and it's both baits you can cast a really long ways and get away from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's the key to catching pressured fish is getting the bait as far away from the boat as you can.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on Pete's answer, Brian?
I would definitely try that also.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely would. All right, cool. I don't have a secret swim bait, but I'd throw the Armor Chad here.
Yep. Outstanding. Well, both good answers.
We'll give him a second to try to weigh in here.
Yeah, I'll let the message and pick.
I want to hear more about this secret swim bait.
it's not
this bad. Is Bass University, right? People are here to learn. Teach us.
It's
right. Brian, you're catching on quick.
Yeah. Holding his feet to the fire.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a saltwater swim bait from Rapala.
It might very well be.
It's now being converted over.
That Jacob Wheeler is now taken out of the darkness.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm. More to come.
More to come.
All right. Question number two. Go-to bait and technique to catch big largemouth off of clear water docks.
How deep?
Clear water docks?
Yeah. I mean, like, are they on the end of the dock or are they on the walkway?
I'd say they're on the end of the dock.
They are not floating docks.
They're on the end of the docks, 8 foot.
I got more questions. Can I ask more questions?
Yeah.
Are they dumb northern largemouth? Or are they smart southern largemouth?
Pressured southern largemouth?
yours are pressured southern largemouth. Mine are dumb northern largemouth.
So if you're saying if I say Senko, I'm going to win because that's going to be your answer.
I'd go pressured, man. Nobody needs to know how to catch the easy
clear
ones.
Clear water largemouth on docks.
Yeah, looking for the big ones. Trying to catch.
The big ones. I'm going with a swim bait of sorts. A soft plastic swim bait. No, I want a soft plastic swim bait. I want something with a more natural, like lazy, like I'm tired, I can't get away from you bass, come eat me.
Okay.
So, and then I'm leaning toward a little creeper's trash fish.
Oh, okay. Yep. You looking to skip it?
Yep, skipping under there, crawl it out real slow and see what happens.
Okay.
So we're fishing deep?
8 foot. Eight foot on the ends.
8 foot, clear water. I mean, there's so many unknowns. Is this winter, spring, summer, fall? I don't know. But if I'm fishing on the docks, it's usually a summertime deal. Water's hot, clear water. I'm looking for something that is going to trigger bites again. And I'm going fast. And one of the deals that I have a tremendous amount of success with is a Senko. But in this application, what I do is I put a heavy weight on it, a half ounce, a 3/4 ounce, and I peg it to the front so that it falls extremely fast and erratic, and it trigger strikes in that clear water, which these fish can, you know, that are pressured. I don't know. They're in the summer, they get harder to catch, but had great success fishing deep. Deep docks, deep grass lines, Senko, 3/4 ounce weight, sink or peg.
Mm. He said big ones, though.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, confuse me.
We're gonna award 10 points to Pete for the being specific with a pegged sinker. We're also going to award 10 points. To Brian for saying a bait that I've never heard of. And we're going to have to call it a tie. But since Pete caught bigger fish, we're going to have to give this one to Pete. It's 1-1.
There you go. Tiebreaker did coming
lose,
up.
Did tiebreaker. The other one?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't want to say.
Spend my life fishing for smallmouth, dude. Come on.
All right, so we got one more question for the Bass U battle. This question comes from the Big Bass Professor. You're fishing a Florida lake. It's the middle of the summer. Hot water. The fish are very pressured. Most of the field is fishing down in the Kissimmee area on Lake Toho. What do you do?
Summertime, hot, Toho. I think this guy's looking for information for his weekend derby.
That's what it sounds like.
Hey, he's an opportunist. I like his style.
Yeah, yeah. Am I going first?
Yes.
All right.
I don't have any idea where to start.
Is he limited to Toho, or does he get to lock to the other lakes?
Since we don't know, we're going to say he can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants. I'm saying he runs as far as he can, locks out of Kissimmee, and fishes the current in the river.
Real.
Okay. Yep.
That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
So we'll keep the answers kind of broad.
Are you competing in the event? You're fishing the other end and trying to get him away?
No, I don't know, am I?
Don't you hate the current?
I do, but that's different.
Okay.
Because you got options. It's all about the options.
All right.
Because, see, realistically, what I would do is I would start in Toho and throw a frog or some kind of topwater and try to capitalize on an early morning bite around some bluegill spawn.
Yeah.
And then once the sun got up and those fish quit biting, I would run and lock through to the river and try to find some current fish.
Unfortunately, it's drought in Florida and there's no current. And so that's
it's
why
wide
that's
open
no
for
good.
You, Pete.
Wow, there is a drought for you, sir.
Yeah, you know, this is tough because I really have never been in this situation.
Me neither. I've never been in it.
They never send us to Florida in the summer. So I don't know how to react to it, but I love your current suggestion, because anytime I'm in hot weather, getting into the current scenarios is something that I'd look at. But you know what I'd do? I don't even know if it exists, but this is what I want to look for, and I do it around the places around here in those hot summertime scenarios. You can get into the backs of creeks a lot, especially the ones in Florida that are spring fed, and a lot of times if they're meandering through woods or spring fed, you can find cooler water temperatures in the hottest parts of the day, and it can draw bait and it can draw bass, and that would be the way that I would try to win the tournament down at Toho. That's my answer. There's probably no springs down on the creeks in Toho. There's only like one creek.
I think right. There is only one creek.
Message board, we are going to open it up to you. Yeah. Chime in to me.
I, you know what I'm curious about is like we fish there all the time in January, February, and stuff.
Yeah.
And when it goes into the summer on a place like Toho, like we see them offshore in the cold seasons feeding on the shad in the open water.
Right.
And then everything turns shallow for the spawn. What are these fish going to be doing in the summer? I mean, are they going to be going back out deep, do you think? Or
I don't know. I'm thinking Florida strain and bluegill when I think about summer in Florida. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's got to be a lot of those big fish that stay shallow, feed on those bluegill up spawning and stuff like that. Just in that, you know, that a lot of times when you get in the dead heat of the summer, that shallowest water is some of the most well oxygenated, just from all the grass and stuff like that. So you see fish actually stay shallow.
Mm-hmm. That's but it. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean,
I've never been in that situation.
Why don't they ever send us down there in the summertime?
Because it's too hot. Mosquitoes. Too hot. Mosquitoes. I think.
Mosquitoes.
Maybe.
Maybe the hydrilla gnats will kill you. You gotta wear the head nets and stuff. They sent us to the Louisiana Delta in the summer when they used to have classics in the summertime. I'll never forget the heat.
We had a cup on the Red River one time. That was pretty miserable. I mean,
that's hot.
All right, hot wise, fishing was good actually.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
all right. You
that
pick,
was the one
pick,
I actually
pick a winner there.
Going into the last day.
We do. We have a winner picked. It's due to a technicality, though. It's due to a technical fault. The scores on the message board was 3-2 in favor of the Dean.
Oh.
The technical fault was that Brian chose to go fish current, knowing that that might be one of Pete's strengths.
I was poaching Pete.
Yeah, poaching his spot. So the message board says that Pete, the Dean Glusek, is the winner of the unknown numbered Bashu battle.
I feel the love. I feel the love coming from the Bashu family.
Good job.
We got a special cameo guest. Maybe he knows.
Brian. He probably does know. He's been in that situation.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are y'all?
Pete, I know you.
I love you, man. The Mike's back in studio. How the heck? Have you ever been fishing in Florida in the summertime?
Get on the mic.
Florida in the summertime.
Toho, summertime.
I don't know that I fish Toho in the summer, but I have fished Florida lakes in the summertime. Yeah.
How do you catch
Disney lakes?
I have fished the Disney lakes in the summer. Usually it's out, you know, way out on that shell stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah, or
go back out.
Yeah, or the punching deal, or the two deals I've caught them in Florida in the summer.
Interesting.
Yeah,
we were both wrong.
But if the question was specifically Lake Toho, I've got a spot that I just want to give up right now. So you go to the bottom of Lake Toho. This is all year round, but especially in the summer. You go to the lock. Don't get in a fight like Ish Monroe did. You just lock through, take your time, you get through, and as soon as that gate opens, you just drop your trolling motor. And I want you to cast the deep diving crankbait, DT-14, DT-16, up into the current where you're not allowed to fish. I guarantee you'll have a 30-pound bag.
Is that right?
Oh, dude.
Every tournament's been won there until they put it off.
Dude, yeah, so I don't know, it was probably 10 years ago, we had a charity event there. And the dude that was running the event knew the lockmaster. And he's like, y'all can go down there for about 40 minutes. Dude, I swear, 10 boats lined up, nose to nose to nose. Everyone hooked up with a 5 to 9 pounder, dude. It was the most ungodly thing I've ever seen. Oh, dude, it was great. Yep. And then we fished it for about 20 minutes, and they kicked us out.
That's cool.
It was unreal, dude.
Man.
Oh, wow. Unreal.
Mike wins.
We have a new chime from the message board. Ike, you are the winner.
Well, how's that feel to be stripped of your title, man?
Dude, the award was already presented, and I am the dean.
There it is.
We're not taking that vote the into ruler. Account.
Congratulations, Brian. You got another top 10.
Oh, that's man. Awesome. Hey, that was fun. Appreciate all you guys watching and participating, and everybody that voted for me. We're going to figure out how to give you prizes. I don't know. but it's cool. It was cool having Mike pop in here at the end. BTC, do we have anything left on the agenda?
Yeah, grand prize giveaway, our Ken Duke trivia question here.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Is this the TH Marine grand prize?
This is. Thank you, Brian. You've been doing this a minute, haven't you?
I know.
The glory bag.
The glory bag. I was looking for that, what we were calling this. This is a $200 value, guys.
That's right.
It's got a troll jacket, cable cover. It's got G-Juice, Generation 2 Cull System, G-Force handle, G-Force prop. You're going to be able to re-rig the entire boat with what we're giving away here right now. So
that is correct.
Let's see what Ken Duke has to say on our final trivia question of the evening.
Here we go. David Dudley goes into the final FLW Tour event of the season, trailing John Cox in the AOI race by just 1 point.
Ooh.
Dudley can make history by being the first angler to win 4 FLW AOI titles. Two other anglers also have 3 AOIs. Whom are they?
Brian Thrift.
That's right.
That is wrong.
Two?
That is wrong?
That is wrong.
Uh-oh. I got a few guesses.
Oh,
but
son! I've got a guess. Son! Oh, son! Son!
The cutout of Bill is messing with me a little bit right here.
Son of the son! Son!
It might not be the answer. I don't know.
What?
Does he really win AOIs? I know he wins a lot. Like Scott Martin, I know he wins a lot.
Yeah.
He's won. I know one because he beat me on one on a Tidal River.
Okay,
that started my distaste for Tidal River.
Thrift hates rivers, Ike. I didn't know.
And I especially hate Tidal Rivers.
So why we got you both here, Bri? How many spots can you hit in a day?
I can hit at least 60 or 70.
That's good. I ran in that Delaware River turn that was here.
We were talking about that earlier.
I wanted to hit that many. I couldn't do it. I physically could not do it. I don't know if I got burned out. I was just tired.
It wears you out. That's what I was talking about. Like, that is the toughest day of fishing you will.
Yeah, it is.
You will ever go through, because you're, especially if you're doing it offshore, because when you line up on your stuff, you got to get up there to the front, put that troll motor in the water quick before your boat position moves, and it's just back and forth, up and down all day.
Yeah.
Well, how do you resist the urge to just drown a bait sometimes?
I just can't do it.
You just can't do it?
No, I can't do it.
It'll take up too much time?
Yeah, that, and I don't feel like I'm going to get bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's weird.
So you just burn, what, 4 or 5 casts?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the bite, but yeah, if it's a isolated structure deal, four or five casts.
Wow.
Let's let them weigh in.
I mean, that is the... Real quick, that is the Kevin Van Dam rule. You know, I mean, Kevin, I think, was one of the first guys to, just to look at it from a standpoint of numbers.
Right.
You know, the more places you could hit, the faster you hit it.
More water you can cover.
More water you can cover. Yeah. Reaction strike. Get there. Get out. Yep. Get to the next one. I think he was the first one that
I saw that I watched. Yeah.
That did that real effectively, you know.
Yeah.
And other guys have figured it out, too, you know.
So we got to come up with two guys. Take your guesses. Yeah. I know. They've won three AOI titles.
That's correct. I know that.
You did?
Yeah.
We have a winner on the board.
I'm pretty sure I know.
Who is it?
It would be, well, Dudley, obviously. It's Clark Winlett and Andy Morgan.
You are correct. Wow. And the first person to come in correct on the message board at 9:34 and 29 seconds was C. Stu. C. Stu. Send in your customer number. The answer was Clark Winlett and Andy Morgan. Congratulations, brother.
That's Stu. The premium TH package.
Yeah.
200 beans. Congratulations, C. Stu. Man, thanks. Thanks for being part of Bass University tonight.
Chewies.
Man, that's quite a gift. That might be our biggest gift.
I like eating.
No, we gave away
Hydrowave.
Hydrowave, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like 300 something bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad, though. That's not bad. Well, man, that was pretty awesome. It was a Thrift. It's awesome having you, man.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's always fun getting to come work for Bass U, you know, and just help everybody hear what, you know, it's nice to hear what people want to hear about, like, yeah, have the fans being able to ask us questions,
yep,
and we know exactly what they want to know, so we're not just rambling on something that
doesn't interest them,
right?
That's a lie.
That's what we do on Ike Live. We just ramble on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it.
Well, we appreciate all of you guys participating. I appreciate you being with us, Brian. Yeah. And you know, we're going to be filming with Brian tomorrow, and we're going to be covering some stuff with Sonar, with Hummingbird. We're gonna maybe do a test run. I think maybe we come up with, like, we get like five pieces of habitat and we'll see how fast you can fish them, and I'll time it, and then we'll extrapolate to see if you could have done 60 in a day. I think we're gonna do that out. But we're gonna be looking at deep offshore stuff, we're gonna be looking at docks, we're gonna be working with Sonar. All that is going to be available to you on Bass U TV. Guys, if you're listening to this on iTunes and you haven't subscribed to Bass U TV, go check it out. We've got over, how many seminars? 500 seminars now with the best anglers in the world, like Brian Thrift, with Mike Iaconelli, and Kevin Van Dam, all the rest. It's all at your fingertips. We genuinely are working to help you guys be better anglers, ourselves included. And it's all available over on Bass U TV, but you're going to be seeing Brian's On Water stuff being released real soon. So come on over, check it out. It's 30 days free right now. And we're going to be back next month with a new episode of Bass U Live with another great angler. Maybe we can get him in studio. That was really awesome because we often Skype and talk to people on the phone. It's really cool to have you in studio.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's nice to be able to swing by on the way to Champlain.
Yeah, good luck to you up there.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Kill it, man.
Yeah, maybe you'll take that.
That lake's kind of like, I got a love-hate relationship with it, too. Like, I'm usually a 50th to 80th place guy at Champlain, but last time we were there, I tied for 10th.
Nice.
So I feel like I'm this close to figuring a little bit out.
You got momentum on your side.
I lost the tiebreaker, so maybe we'll get in there this time.
You didn't get to fish the final day?
No, I tied for 10th, but
what's the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker is day three standings.
Oh, man.
And I was in, like, 15th or 17th or something, and he was ahead of me on day three. So,
come on, Bill Taylor. Come on, Bill. That's crap.
Get it together, Bill.
Brian should have been in the top 10. Well, good luck up there this year or, you know, next week.
Next week, yeah.
thank you, BTC, Riz. Yes.
Thank you for everybody.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you, Ike.
Yeah. Yes.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You have a derby coming up.
I do. I have a derby on we're going to hit an amazing walleye lake and try to catch bass. So
Where are you going?
Lake Winnebago.
Winnebago.
Oh, that'll be a fun one.
World-class walleye fishery in the United States.
So. At least you'll eat good in practice.
Looking forward to another great selection by MLF.
Free smoke.
Just in time to spread some love. Hey, well, good luck to you. We'll be watching both you guys. And thanks again, everybody, for watching. Thanks for subscribing. Look for some great new stuff coming from Bass University. I'm Pete Kluzek for Bass University Live.